All right, stretch out your hands real quick. Father, thank you for your daughter. Ha, we bless her, Lord. Thank you for your love, God. Lord, we open our hearts to hear the words that you have put into her heart. Ha, bless her, Holy Spirit. Amen.
I need extra prayer after all that yard sailing. I was doing, I'm a little tired, guys. This could be interesting. Hopefully I can stay on track here. It's very dangerous to have a bunch of ladies yard sailing together, we found out, because, you know, we're really good at selling things to each other. That's what we found out. Hey, you need this? This is nice. You should take this home. Yeah, we all got a few things. So anyway, but there's some good stuff back there. The other thing I want to start off by saying, some of you were not here last week, but if you were here last week, I just want to clear something up that Scott said. I just want you to know that Kevin is good. He's good, okay? He never said that, and I just want you to know. If you didn't hear that, you can listen to the message online and find out why, but in case you were worried about Kevin, I was a little bit worried. I know Donna was, officially. Okay, so, but really, I want to expand a little bit on what Scott preached last week. And he had read a lot of Galatians 4, and he talked about moving from slavery to sonship. He talked about grasping righteousness, and when we grasp righteousness and understand that we are righteous, it helps us to stop focusing on our sin and helps us to focus on the kingdom. But how we often don't see ourselves in the right way, and we often feel like we're not measuring up. And so then we partner with the spirit of religion, you know, to try and work our way to betterment, right? So he talked a little bit about that last week, and he said a few times, he said, coming out of agreement with the spirit of religion. He said that like 4 or 5 times, and it's funny because I actually didn't listen to the message. I was helping with the little kids in the back, and so I didn't hear anything, but I had that on my heart all week before. And all this week, I didn't listen to his message until Friday. And I had the word coming out of agreement was just, I was waking up with this. I was thinking about it. I was just chewing on that for 2 weeks, coming out of agreement. So God really wants to say something this morning, and I really believe he's got some breakthrough for some of you. So Scott also gave us a recipe, if you caught it. He gave us the recipe. And I'll expand on that in a bit. But we've been talking a lot about the Holy Spirit for the last few months, and talking, sharing encounters, and sharing our stories, and hoping that would spark some fires again. And not real fires. We don't want real fires. In Jesus' name, no fires in this city. We want Jesus fires in our city, right? We want to light up our city and light up our homes. And so we've been, you know, stirring ourselves up with some of our stories. But maybe some of you who are a little newer to the things of the Spirit hear these stories and you get a little discouraged because, you know, you still haven't had this radical encounter that Scott had or Stacy's had, and these big radical like moments of God falling and all that. And so I just want to share a little piece of some of my story so that hopefully it'll encourage those of you that are, you know, haven't experienced that yet, and also give you a recipe. So most of my experiences with the Lord have come during or after very painful heartaches and disappointments. And I know a lot of you can relate to that. And most often, some of you who know this, it was after traumatic emergency room visits with one of my kids. So, and I'm tired, so now I'm going to get emotional already. Gosh. You get the tissue ready. So, thank you. They would get hurt. We'd rush them to the ER. We'd go through the heartache of watching them in a really painful situation. And, you know, watching them cry, holding their hand and all those things. And then bringing them home, broken, with wrapped up. And we went through that many, many times. And then I would find a quiet space, you know, sometime either that day or a couple days later, and I would just cry my eyes out, cry out to God, scream in frustration, whatever, just, God, I need your help. We need this. We need to be free. And he always spoke to me every single time. He always ministered to me. Sometimes it was a scripture. Usually it was just a thought, a different thought, a different way to see something, a new perspective. But it was always just, it was just a thought, a simple thought that came with a revelation. And every time, every single time, there was a shift in my identity. Every time he took me out of an agreement with something I believed about myself that was false, and he taught me the truth. You see, I was born with a broken bone disease. I was born with a defect. It's not very obvious on the outside. Some of you know this, but it's called osteogenesis imperfecta. And it basically means that in the beginning, your bones are not perfect. So basically, as you're growing up, you break a lot is what the deal is. And there's different severities of it. And we have the lightest severity of it. So it's a generational thing. It's a generational curse. My mom had it. My dad had it. It was a family thing, family disease. And I grew up being told that I was special. I was taught to be proud of it. I was, you know, told I was, you know, really unique. I was the most unique there is. And so everywhere I went, when I met somebody new, I would tell them about my special power to, you know, fall apart and break things. It was like special. I thought I was really special. And it didn't really bother me. I played sports. I did everything like every other kid. I just often would have a cast on my arm or on my leg or whatever. But then I just keep going. But then I had kids. And it was no longer a very happy thing. And I no longer wanted this. We no longer wanted this. And It was very painful because it was all of a sudden, you know, the first one, Gage was 18 months old, and we had just had Nick, so I had two babies under two, and one of them had a broken leg. So that was fun, and that just kept going on from there. When Stacy and I got saved in 97, we both, you know, immediately wanted freedom. We read the Bible and we said, well, they're telling us the Bible is the truth. You know, if it's true, then Jesus heals, right? Like, we didn't really talk about it openly, but we knew, and deep down, we both were wanting freedom. We both wanted to see this thing go and to see freedom come. And our focus was on God's healing because we really needed it. So we had tasted a little bit of freedom, you know, in our salvation at the moment we got saved. But we knew there was more. And Scott talked a little bit about that, how there's like, you know, there's more than just the salvation. There's more after it. It's not just, that one moment. And I often think about the story of Moses walking the Israelites through the Red Sea in regards to healing. There's so many applications. A lot had to happen before they completely walked into their promised land, right? The Israelites themselves didn't walk out of slavery, though. They needed Moses, right? Their big, giant group of people didn't do it themselves. They needed a man to come and get them out, walk them out. So slavery had become a way of life for them. They adapted to their circumstances, and they became comfortable with them. You know, they were this big, powerful group of people, but it took God and in Moses, or God upon Moses, right? We learned in and upon in the last few months. I'll be very technical. And it took a bunch of plagues to get them to walk out of their bondage. After Moses' first encounter with Pharaoh, things got worse for them, right? It got worse. They were no longer given straw to make bricks. And, you know, they're like, they were mad at Moses. What did you do? Why did you even talk to him, you know? Pharaoh actually calls them idle. And that word actually means to drop the hands. They had lost confidence and courage in themselves. And they just gave in to their slavery. That became their way of life. It probably happened little by little, right? But I was thinking about, you know, this COVID thing and how a lot of what is happening for the church is that God is opening our eyes to see where we have just let ourselves get enslaved with things and leaders, you know, doing things they shouldn't be doing. And the church has been asleep at the wheel for a while. The church has been idle, right? We need to open our eyes and see that, though, right? And it took plagues. We're in the middle of a plague, right? It took plagues to get Pharaoh to let God's people go. But I was thinking how much of these plagues really helped the Israelites to realize their bondage, you know? They realized that they were putting up with bondage and slavery. And I bet those Israelites got pretty comfortable with that bondage. So they needed something that would help them to see their codependency, you know? This was like a codependent relationship with the Egyptians. So I thought this disease was no big deal. You know, I thought I was special, but then it became a really big, big deal. And it took a whole lot of pain and torment for us to really see how enslaved we were by the messages that we were living with and believing, because we accept things as we just accept them. We get used to our difficulties, and sometimes we even glorify them, you know? Deep down, though, we know we're not free. But sometimes things need to get a little shaky in order for us to fight these things and to stand up and walk out of our bondages. So things got really shaky for our family. And we were going hard after God, and we were on the mission field. We were just like going nuts and seeking after God. And all in the middle, we were having traumatic moment after traumatic moment over and over again. But every time we would learn something, every time we would get a little freer and take off more of the unholy alliances, right? But the first step, we had to realize that it wasn't our identity. It wasn't who we were. So we would often just, you know, wherever there was any sort of thing happening that sounded cool, sounded like there was a healing thing going on, we would get there. I mean, one time we drove 18 hours. This was in Europe. We drove from Bosnia to Switzerland because Randy Clark was there. And he had had that encounter with Randy Clark. And we're like, we're going to go get some more of that. And funny thing is, right before, I think it was the day before, Braden broke a leg. And do you know what? When he got there, he got healed. He got healed. I don't know if you guys remember that, but he did. He got healed. He was like 3 or 4, I don't know. 5. Maybe it was 5. I don't know. Anyway. So we were just going after it, and we were seeing those kind of moments, but more often we were experiencing the traumatic things and nothing was happening, and it was devastating often. So we were home in California at some point. We were back and forth all over the mission field over and over again. We were in California, and we went up to Bethel in Redding, California, and we asked, it was like a healing week thing, and we asked we signed up for a prayer time. And so we went in the back, and they took us in the room. And after some prayer, it was just like us guys, just, you know, praying for somebody, just a group of us, just saying what we think, I don't know. And this young lady's like, this is what she said to me. She said, you know that's not actually you, right? That's all she said. And immediately, I had the revelation that that wasn't my identity. And God just began to speak to me. And as he spoke to me, I got heavy. The revelation, the actual thought of being separated from this identity was giving me an encounter. It wasn't even like somebody had their hands on me. It was just my mind was shifting in a moment, and I had an encounter as it shifted. And it wasn't even the physical healing that I needed. It was the mind transformation that I needed. And so I could barely walk out of there. I was heavy, and I was just happy. I was so happy because it was the first time that somebody had said something like that to me, that somebody had even given me the idea, oh, that's not you. That's not who you are. So I had agreed with the enemy for a long time. You know, I had agreed with him. I had aligned myself with him, and it became the identifier in my life of who I was. And so often we unknowingly, we do this to everybody. We identify each other by our difficulties and our bondages and our imperfections, you know? Like, oh, yeah, there's so-and-so, you know, the blind one, or I don't know, or there's so-and-so with that issue, whatever. Like, we just say it. We say it to ourselves. We're speaking those identifiers all the time, and we need to stop it. We do catch each other now. We have learned. I catch you guys all the time. Stop it. That's not true. That's not who you are, right? That's who we are as a church. We want to catch those ungodly things in each other's lives and say no, because so often we don't know that we're even aligned with something. We just, it's become so much a part of who we think we are, we just let it be us, you know? We got to get that off. So I came out of agreement that day. I came out of agreement, and I found out that I could. I didn't deny that I had effects. You know, I didn't deny that my kids still had some issues and they were breaking and stuff like that. But I stopped identifying us that way. And I began to teach my children differently. We began to repent for believing this lie. And we began to start learning who we really were in God and speaking our true identities. Because we are, you know, we're just spirits like Him. That's who we really are. We're just spirits, and we're full of Him, and we're full of grace, and we're full of mercy. Just like Him, He's made us holy. He's made us righteous. We are fully loved and free as we're singing today. We need to sing it out so that we believe it, you know? We need to tell our hearts, it's true, you know? Our freedom is like this little tiny seed, and we take it in. And that moment was like a tiny seed for me, and I took it in. And it goes deep inside, and then it just little by little, it grows and it grows. And slowly, as we pursue God, little by little, it starts to make its way into our physical being. And then it, like, His seed becomes us, you know? His seed becomes us, and we become the truth. And that's what He's after. So, you know, it's not always this big Holy Spirit moment. For me, it's been the little by littles. So, I remember the first time that, because when we first start to think this way, it's kind of scary saying it out loud. It sounds really wrong, you know? Because we've lied to ourselves for so long. When we say the truth, it sounds wrong coming out of our mouth, right? Sometimes it's even like, I remember talking to a lady at a church, and I could see her face right now because I said something like, God's going to heal me. And she gave me a look like, you are nuts. What's wrong with you? You know? But I felt the feeling it felt as it came out of my mouth, like, it could be true. You know, like, maybe that is a possibility. But I said it like out loud for the first time, and it did something with me. That was 20 years ago. 20 years, 6 boys, and about 45 to 50 emergency room visits. Guys, seriously, no joke. No joke. But I can freely speak about it now because I don't feel bondage by this at all. And until we can speak what He has spoken about us, we're not going to be able to impact the earth. We need to be able to say it out loud, to say what He's saying out loud. It needs to come out of our mouth. This is the year. Stuff is coming out, right? Gabrielle's been talking about that a lot. And our family has gained so much freedom. Seriously, freedom that you cannot take it from us now. You can't. It's like, it's who we are now. We don't believe that stuff. It's kind of crazy. You can't take it from us. And that pursuit, our pursuit, we were pursuing freedom. That pursuit got all over my kids. Got all over them as we were going. You know, I mean, they weren't the ones crying in the bedroom. They were crying when they were hurt. But I was the one crying in the bedroom out to God. They were just like playing, you know. But it was getting all over them. It was shifting. Our identities were shifting, and their identities were shifting. Our generations are shifted. And so here's that the part where the recipe that Scott gave us last week applies. What is our part? What is our part in coming out of these unholy agreements? It's very important because we often, which I confess I've done it wrong, so we often do it wrong because we often try to focus on it, and we pray against it, and we think about it, and we just spend all our time thinking about it, and then it's just like, it's there in front of us, like on a daily basis, and we've actually created the bigger thing and became an idol in front of us, right? So we can't do that. That's not what we can do. It's not what we should do. So I've shared this story before. It's been a while, so for new people, it'll be new. But this is the picture God gave me that was another radical, like, revelatory thing that he... It was a TV show I was watching. And I was watching it with the kids, and it was like a National Geographic show. And it was about some buffalo. Who's heard the buffalo story? A couple of you? So the buffalo, there was a bunch of buffalo and a buffalo hunter. And the buffalo hunter wanted to go get a buffalo, kill a buffalo. So he went looking for the buffalo, and what he found out was there's this whole group of buffalo that were sick and dying. And so he had compassion for them. He turned from a hunter into, wait a minute, I don't want to kill these beautiful creatures if they're sick and dying. So he decided to try out a way to help the buffalo. And so he started, you know, this, I guess, probably an organization. And he started trying to help the buffalo. He got people to come and, you know, he gathered them all in, and he put a fence around them. And he began to, you know, every time a new baby was born, they would test the baby to see if it had a sickness. They would, you know, change their milk out. They would separate the babies to see if that worked. They were trying all these different things so the buffalo would not reproduce and be sick. But nothing was working. Nothing at all was working. They just kept doing that for years. Like, I think it was 7 years where he would do this. He had them fenced in, and he lived on a house on the hill. And so he's got this big fenced-in giant, you know, land with the buffalo. And the buffalo would often follow him. He became, you know, some of them were like, really loved him, and they started to, he started to get attachments, and they started to get attachments, and there was some that would literally just follow him up the hill. They'd put their nose on his back as he walked up the hill, and they would walk with him up the hill, and he would feed them, and, you know, it became this beautiful thing. And all of a sudden, they stopped getting sick. It wasn't even like an actual, they didn't even know why. It was just they stopped getting sick. And they realized, because these buffalo, wherever they were, I don't even know where this took place, what country it was. I have no idea. South Africa? I don't know. Wherever it was, they were in a place where they were getting just constantly hunted and killed, or, you know, the lions were killing them. It was just like there was no peace where they were. It was gotten really bad for them. And so what they figured out is what healed them was that feeling of safety and protection and being, you know, cared for. And they were afraid. They were literally afraid. And that's what was making them sick, is fear. And this was even, you know, in this show I'm watching, I'm sitting there just going, oh my gosh, this is amazing. This is such a picture of what God does, you know? And just, he takes us, and Hillary was singing about it today, you know, he puts us in the land of our enemies, and he surrounds us. We think we're surrounded, but he surrounds us, you know? He surrounds us. And you know, these buffalo, they needed to feel safe again. And what did they do? They attached themselves to a picture of the Father. They attached themselves to the Father, and that's what we're supposed to do. That's the recipe. The recipe, John 14:15, right? It says, loving me empowers you to obey my commands. Loving him empowers you to be healed. Loving him empowers you to all your freedom. It empowers you to all your freedom. That's the recipe. And after a while, you know, they took the fences down and they didn't actually leave. The buffalo didn't leave. And because they liked the peace, you know, they liked the peace of the house and the safety and the food they were getting, and they didn't run away. They didn't have fear anymore. So just as that disease for them was like little by little, it's just like for us, the freedom comes little by little as we let our guard down, you know, take a deep breath, let the fears go, let the pains go, let the traumas go, let everything go, and just stick our noses to the Father, eat what he gives us, and just focus on him, you know? Stick your nose to your dad. Just, that's what you do. That's the recipe. Stick your nose and say, where you go, I go. I don't know. I need to run to my Father right now. Sometimes you wander off, but I know where that house is. I know where it is. I know where to find it, and I go to it. When I've been like, okay, it's been a busy week, and I didn't get to have some time with him, but I know where he lives, and I go there when I need him. So your bondages and your sicknesses will fall off of you. It will happen. It can't help but not happen. That's like, it's just the laws of God. It's going to happen. So it's that archway of trust. We've got some more of these, but Claire handed these out if anybody wants one. But she handed these out on Thursday. It says, come with me through the archway of trust. And it's just a little, it's a little bookmark. If anybody wants one, you should come get one. Put it in your Bible, and remember to go with him to the archway of trust. So we have to first recognize, right? What is it that is keeping you in bondage? What is it that you need to come out of agreement? What is the enemy said to you? That you need to come out of agreement with today. So I just want to ask, if you come up back up, Hillary, and I don't know what song you want to sing, but you should know probably. But I want us to just spend some time thinking about what is it that you've been agreeing with that you need to come out of agreement with. And that's become your identity, become who you are. Because it's like this. It's like it's not you. It's out here. It's right here. And you need to separate yourself from that thing, whatever it is. You need to say, that is not who I am. And you need to put it separate from you. So, because actually you're united to God, right? You're one with Jesus now. You're perfectly righteous. It's no longer you who lives, but he who lives in you. So don't keep praying against it. Separate yourself from it. Separate today yourself from it. So this morning, I just want to give it all to God again. I want to, I don't know. You want to come up and help us pray? Or Scott, you asked someone to add to it?
So the story of the prodigal son is what I'm being reminded of. And in the Passion Translation, that story is called the story of the faithful father. So if you are finding yourself in a slop of pigs, in a trough with pigs this morning, and you just aren't content with where you're at, what Casey's talking about is an invitation to come back home. Come back home. Come back, because the thing is what you're confused with, possibly, is that you're going to come as a person who was in a slop of pigs, but the daddy is going to put a robe on you. Daddy's going to put a ring on you. That's how he sees you. That's where he wants you to come home, to dress you in the attire that you belong in, to bring you back into the house, to feed you the calf that he's already given you. There's more for you. So the invitation is open to come up and just surrender the place that you feel like you've been wrestling with, and to let him put the identity, put his identity that he has for you back on you. And it may just be that one special area today, and there may be another area in the near future, or it may be all just dealt with today. But yeah, absolutely. So if that word spoke to you, if you feel like that is you, please come up this morning. We'll bring up the pastors to pray for you, to minister to you. But God wants to minister to you. God wants to speak truth into your life this morning through an encounter. And so we just are going to play some music and give it time. That if you feel your heart beating in your chest this morning right now, if you feel like there's something that you're just not ready for, I'm begging you to just be bold and to come up and just to run to the Father's arms this morning.